I'm going to call this meeting to order and ask the secretary to take the roll. Everybody have a seat, please. Yeah, and zip your lips. Oh, those deadheads, you know.
And a bigot to boot.
Okay, I'm handing the microphone to the secretary who will read the roll. Oh, not yet. Just hand it slowly, he says. Okay.
Okay, sorry about the delay. Let's get underway. Agamir is not here. Boy, what a surface. It's hard to write on this. Okay, Agamir is not here. Bernstein.
Here.
Bernstein is here. Drake.
Here.
Drake is here. Fest.
Here.
Fest is here. Futron.
Here.
Futron is here. Gans.
Here.
Gans is here. Goldmacher.
Donald's out of town.
Goldmacher is not here. Con Helenan.
Also out of town.
Okay, Con Helenan is not here. Matthew Helenan.
Also out of town.
Matthew Helenan is not here. Johnson.
She sent an email saying that she would be late. She expects to arrive right
now. Okay, Johnson will be late. I'll mark her as absent for the moment. Coburn.
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
Out of town.
Kurzweil is not here. Nor?
Here.
Nor is here. Pritchett?
She may or may not be coming.
Okay. Pritchett is not here for the moment. Privis?
Out of town.
Privis is not here. Rosenberg?
Here.
Rosenberg is here. Russell? Russell is not here.
She's ill.
Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling? Sterling is here. Aki Tanaka?
Here.
Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka?
Here.
Kate Tanaka is here. Andrea Turner?
She's be a little late.
Okay, so she's not here at the moment. Wilkinson?
Here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. Okay, so that's 15 present. Quorum is 13. We have a quorum. 10 are absent at the moment.
Very good. Thank you. The motion. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. The chair will entertain a motion to excuse Donald Goldmacher, Con Helenan, Matthew Helenan, Jack Kurzweil, Loris Privis, and Tanya Russell. I said I heard from Cynthia and from Andrea Pritchett, but I haven't heard from Sharam, so I don't know what his situation is. Yes, Tracy. Okay. I agree. Okay. All right. So the motion includes Andrea Pritchett, Donald Goldmacher, Con Helenan, Matthew Helenan, Jack Kurzweil, Laura Privis, and Tanya Russell. I'm sorry. Right. Right, and we could excuse Cynthia, but she did say she would be here, and so did Andrea Turner. So, okay.
And Sharam should be here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. Okay. So someone willing to make the motion to excuse?
No move.
Thank you. And a second. Thank you. Is there any objection? Thank you very much. Okay, so now, moving on. Do we have the printed agenda? I didn't get. Oh, there. I'm looking at it. Okay. Are there any amendments or additions to the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Can we take that up after we adopt the agenda?
Okay.
Any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adopt the agenda as written. Second? Somebody second? Thank you. All right. Any objections to adopting the agenda as written? Thank you very much. So now your motion is in order, Mel. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this motion?
No, but there's an objection.
Okay. Well, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor of limiting speakers to 3 minutes, please raise your hands. Okay. Opposed? Yeah, I'll vote yes. 2-3 minutes. And as folks recall, we follow Robert's Rules of Order, which allows any member of the body to speak twice but no more on any subject before the body. Now we're ready to talk about the minutes. People got the minutes by email, and then they were distributed this morning. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Thank you. Is there a second? Second to accepting the minutes as? Thank you. Are there any objections to accepting the minutes as written? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. We're now at the point of here's Donald Goldmacher carrying bags. I told them you were out of town. I lied. I thought you were. All right, we'll correct the minutes.
I can leave. Actually, I will, and I'll come right back.
Okay. Thank you. Before we move on to public comments, I actually only see one public here. Did you want to speak, Betty? No. You're just listening to us. Okay. We'll try to behave ourselves. Okay. I just wanted, we've never had anything on the agenda called the chair's report, but I felt like this at this meeting, I feel compelled to share a couple of pieces of information with you. I have been dogging the recall election, and I wanted you to know that it looks like the ballots will be sent out very soon. The materials have been delivered to the mailhouse, which is both going to print the materials to be sent out and mail them. And so sometime in the next week to 10 days, the ballots should be mailed out. I will notify you all by email if that turns out not to be the case. The other thing I wanted to report was that I had a conversation with Arlene yesterday, and she told me that she is in the process now of hiring a national election supervisor for the local station board elections, which are to take place this fall, and that because she is just now hiring the national election supervisor, the process of the elections will be delayed by 2 months. The time schedule begins with a filing date of June 30th, so I assume that that means that the filing date will be pushed forward to August 30th. And she is going to make some kind of put out something public that revises the schedule. And she told me that this was public information and I was free to share it with the board, so I wanted you all to know that that's the plan. Okay, no public announcements, no public comments, and so now we're ready for announcements. Does any board member have any announcements they want to share? Go ahead, Frank.
It's kind of just a personal one. It's about my tryout, just letting everybody know if anybody's curious that I'm just kind of waiting in limbo to see if my lawyer and the DA can work something out. There is a trial date set for June 20th, but supposedly there'll be some motions filed before that time. So it most likely, as you all know, won't happen at that date. It seems like it never happens. But it's looking good for me. I'm hoping my two friends, as you know, took a deal. Some of you may know if they're on the Facebook thing, which reduced their charges down to a misdemeanor disturbing the peace, which is like loud music, when their charges were assaulting an officer and resisting arrest and battery on an officer. So I'm just waiting for my end to work out, and I've got my hopes high, but I don't want to get them too high, but I'm feeling pretty good about it, maybe getting dismissed, and if that does, I'll be totally happy. But until that time, I'll keep you posted. Anybody watching the Facebook page, I'll just keep posted there. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. And Janet.
Yes, there's a new local Occupy called Occupy Bay Area United, OBAU, that got started, was announced initially on May 4th at an Occupy SF General Assembly, and it's a split off from Occupy SF, but it's Bay Area, and it's committed to nonviolent direct action, and you'll be hearing more about it shortly.
Could you say the name again?
Occupy Bay Area United, OBAU.
What's the last?
United. No, United.
OBAU is the acronym.
Oh, I see.
And the name might be changed at some point, but.
Is
there
a website
yet? Sorry? OBAU.org. OBAU.org.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Other announcements? I just wanted to say that that Berkeley has a tradition of celebrating Juneteenth, which is the day that slaves in Texas were informed that they had been emancipated from slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation went into effect in April, but the news didn't reach Texas until the middle of June. And so every year around Juneteenth, Berkeley has a big street fair. This year it will take place on June 24th. They close off Adeline from Alcatraz to Ashby. It's a big, fun event. Food, vendors, community organizations, art. It's music. It's really worth checking out. And I'm hoping that KPFA will have a table there. And that people will come because it's a very unifying event for the community, and it's quite a wonderful experience. Okay, go ahead, Frank. Frank has another announcement.
Just briefly, I think the apprentices will be down at the Juneteenth thing recording stuff to rebroadcast. It won't be live, but like the Malcolm X Jazz Festival, we recorded some stuff, and now we're going to broadcast it next Friday, and we're going to be doing the same for Juneteenth. But my other announcement was that the KPFA apprenticeship program is accepting applications currently, and although the date will probably be extended because it seems to always happen when the fund drive happens, so we'll probably extend the date, but as of now, the date to turn in applications is Friday, June 8th, and I believe 5 p.m. when the station closes. And you can get an application by going to kpfaapprentice.org or stopping by the station anytime. So if any of the board members know someone that might be interested, you can swing by the station, pick one up, or you can download one at kpfaapprentice.org. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other announcements? All right, Andrew, we're ready for you. This is the IGM report from Andrew. Is there a chair there? Good, excellent.
And a mic.
Yeah, he's got a mic.
Good morning, everybody. Our membership drive, we came in at nearly $690,000, which was about 7% less than our $740,000 goal. You probably know that all Pacifica stations are struggling to make their goals, so our 7% under was quite good compared. I know that other stations are having a real hard time. Of that money, about 50,000 of that money will go to KPFK Fresno, 26,331. KFCF. And KPFA, 610,000 and change. That's how it looks at the moment. There's still money coming in gradually. But there are many outstanding bills still held by Pacifica, which have not reached our office yet, particularly legal bills which have not been passed on to KPFA. In addition, the foundation owes Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News in excess of $1 million. And so there are some substantial bills out there, and we're not through the woods by any means. There are calls from the national office for more on-air fundraising by stations to support the archives and to meet these outstanding bills. I think that's going to be difficult to go back once again to the well and ask our audience once again to pay these bills, but I don't know how else those expenses are going to be met. The staff did a great job during this membership drive. I mean, obviously everybody knows there was a really big change partway through the drive when we introduced the upfront program, and I have to say that the news department did an amazing job in really quickly getting that together and putting it on with 3 days' notice, and it was just very impressive and immediately gave the morning a boost. At the same time, there's indicators that a lot of money actually moved from other parts of the lineup to the morning, which was not really a surprise, but I think we have an opportunity in the morning where the audience is, and once again, well, I'm sure you'll all know that we rolled the program out, obviously. Of course, with both joy and consternation because of the decision, I want to share very briefly how the decision was made. It was really quite simple, finally, for me. To be very honest with you, the politics of the organization have been so intense since I've been here, I felt like a puppet on a string a lot of the time. And I just had to cut the strings and extract the politics and become a program director. And the decision was very simple. Put the station resources where the audience is, forget the politics and try to build up the morning, and that's very simply what it was. It was not a political decision, finally, and it was a 180-degree turnaround. I acknowledge that, but I think flexibility is a good thing in management. Yeah. Thank you. I have to say there's been very little negative comment to these changes. I'm talking, very, very little negative comment. Maybe 5 or 6 people, a lot of positive comment. And the morale in the station has improved enormously, which I think is really a very important component in all of this, because it was very, very difficult to manage KPFA in this adversarial manner. And it's not my style to work that way. It may surprise some people, but it's not. I like to work with people. And I would call it a healing and a compromise, and the need to reach across the great divide to create a bridge to the future for the station. And I just think that we really need to the extent that we can, let bygones be bygones and to move forward with a new vigor and appreciation of the value of our institution. Thanks, Frank, for your comments on the apprenticeship program. You know, it's next door to my office and close to my heart. The 38th induction, which is the one currently, there are 11 apprentices in the First Voice Media program. But the apprentices do need more help. There's no doubt about that. Frank Sterling does a tremendous job, volunteers a lot of time, as does Joy Moore and a few other people. And it's just a great program, and I think does some of the most interesting programming on a Friday night at the radio station, produced radio, which is a little bit of a rarity at our station, but you hear it on that station. It's been my pleasure to do some workshops with the apprentices, and I think they've been quite helpful, both for me and for the apprentices. The Program Council, UPSO, we've been establishing a list of programmers, and as startling as it may sound, it's very hard to find out who's actually at KPFA, the large list of people. But Anthony and Sabrina Jacobs and myself have been working on that, and there's a strong urge to get this together because we acknowledge that we do need a program council, and there's a new drive to create that, a sense of inclusiveness, a need for unpaid staff to exert their presence at KPFA more, I would suggest. And there is, again, I mean, I think we're all aware, there is a sort of inherent unfairness in the system. We have a two-tiered system, which is just what we've got to deal with, and it's not at KPFA, it's throughout our system. But perhaps I'll address that at another time. Program changes. We would like to install the program father figure, which we ran out as a trial when Chris Walsh was away a couple of months ago. We'd like to run it out on Father's Day, June 16. It would mean there would have to be some changes in the Saturday morning lineup. Sonali, perhaps, well, she's now helping out in the morning. The question is, do we need to have her program on Saturday as well? It's a good program. But to make room for new programs, we have to make some changes. So that's a possibility. We'll be talking to people about that next week. And there are other programs, too, like Richard Wolf's Economic Update, which I think is a very strong program, and a program we haven't heard out here, but which is a good program from the Centre for Constitutional Rights called Law and Disorder, which deals with drones and Guantanamo and extraordinary rendition and all those kinds of legal things, which there are so many of them so in our culture right now. I guess there always are. So I think that would be a great addition. There's also a call for a 420, a marijuana program on KPFA, and I'm somewhat leery about that, although I have been known to enjoy it occasionally.
Cannabis.
And my sense is with the heat that we're getting, the marijuana, quote-unquote, industry, the cannabis industry is getting, I'm not sure how wise it is for KPFA to put on a one-hour program and attract that kind of attention on one hand, but on the other hand, on the other hand, we certainly could be doing reports and installing them in our other programs. So this is, I think that may be another way to deal with that and get to the same results. So we have an authentic attempt to cover issues of cannabis, which I think is really an important issue. And if there's no place, if we can't do it in KPFA, then where can we do it? Development director. We are exploring a part-time development director. I wanted to employ a development director. I went ahead myself and invited somebody in, a former staff person who had some 10 years experience, but because frankly I just wanted to get something started and offer her 25 hours to do this, but there was a bit of pushback from the staff. I understand why. They wanted an open hire process, so we're going through that, but it's taking a lot of time, and I grant you that it's a reasonable thing to do, but it is means we're losing time. We don't have a program director currently. Kerry Corr left on April the 13th, so we have actually been saving a little bit of money because we don't have a program director. Veronica Faison has been really terrific as an assistant in the membership drive. She's been very efficient and on it, and I think works well with the staff. So she's been helping management in the area of programming, and she'll continue to do that. I do have to say, and this is really problematic, there are probably more than likely going to be serious staff cuts across the network. Pacifica has asked for a $1 million cut in staff budgets. So that would mean a really serious hit at KPFA. It could be as many as from 3 to 5 positions. So this is going to have to be discussed with the union and with our staff. But we've been asked to do this, told to do this, and so now we've got to sit down and work out how to do this. And the final thing... the executive director has told me that my last day on the job at KPFA will be June the 30th, which is the end of this month. I was willing to stay longer to facilitate an orderly transition, and I hope I can facilitate that within that time period. Therefore, my interim tenure will finish 15 months after it began. It's been an interesting experience, and I hold no grudges. I respect this board, actually, although I have differences. I feel like I'm my own person, and it feels good. And I want to thank those of you that have been supportive and those of you that have been argumentative too, because there's nothing wrong with conflict. It's a creative process as far as I'm concerned. And so I guess this will be my last report. And I will write something more substantial, because this has happened all fairly quickly, to share my own thoughts about KPFA Pacifica. And I will certainly be happy to share that with the organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay. So the floor is open for board members to ask questions. I see Henry, David, Mal, and Donald, and Frank. Okay. So, and Tracy. Okay. So go ahead, Henry. Start.
First of all, Andrew, thank you for your service in under a very difficult set of circumstances. I don't, frankly, I find it hard to imagine that you lasted 15 months, so thanks for that. I think it you really did hold together in a very difficult situation, and we all appreciate that, or I do. I have several comments, I guess, and questions about the morning. Several things. First of all, about staff cuts, you said, you know, there's got to be discussion with the union and staff and so on. I just want to say that I hope there's also discussion at some point with the listeners as well. I think things would have played out much better if there had been more communication with the listeners before the cuts in whatever it was, end of 2010. Because the fact that there was no very little official information laying out clearly what the financial situation was made, you know, left the ground open to a lot of speculations and, frankly, falsehoods about what was going on. Couple of other things about the morning. One, you know, I understand the need for change, and I understand your desire to improve the climate and compromise and so on. I'm disappointed that what we ended up with, when it was first announced, there was talk about how there are going to be new voices and new energy and so on. I was hoping that we would get somehow away from the model of either it's paid staff time or it's unpaid staff time, and that we could have something new that involves some kind of fusion of where paid staff working with unpaid staff in a way that would be different from what we've had. And in fact, so far, it seems to me that what we have is basically, until Brian went on vacation, it was just Brian with a little sonali every morning, and I haven't heard any of that new voices and new dynamism. It's a lot like the morning show, for better or for worse. I know there are people who like it, there are people who don't like it, but it's not something new. So I just want to say that for the record. And not just for the record, but perhaps if, you know, I understand if you're in your last weeks, you're not going to have a chance to shape things, but that's, I would hope still that there's a chance for pushing in that direction to get some new voices working with old voices and stuff. And the last thing is about Democracy Now. In the discussions that I've heard about the morning show, there's been very little attention to the fact that we've moved Democracy Now! Again out of the, I don't know what the official definition of drive time is, but the prime drive time, if I can call it that, between 7 and 9, some of us fought hard for years to get what we thought was a very strong program that could bring listeners to KPFA into those hours, and now it's gone out of them. Perhaps there's been little discussion because there's so many other ways to get Democracy Now! Through other channels. I know a lot of people who used to listen that are now listening online or watching TV or whatever, but I do feel that it's a loss to the station, that if people get it from another channel, they're not going to complain, but on the other hand, they're not going to be listening to KPFA, and that's a loss. And I wonder whether there was any, what considerations went into that. I mean, I'm sure there is an audience at 6 o'clock, but my guess is it's a much smaller audience. So I wonder what your feeling is about that, and if you see any chance of, in the future, putting in Democracy Now! Either either at 7 or 8, and perhaps only once or at least once in the morning.
Excuse me. Was anyone keeping time? No? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Henry. Okay. Do you want to? How do you want to do this, Andrew? Do you want to respond to questions as people ask them? Do you want to keep notes and do it all at once? What it, well, perhaps we should do it that way. Let people put their questions out there, and maybe we'll get to a point where we'll ask Andrew to answer the questions that have been asked so far. Okay, so sorry, next on the list is David Gans. Let me tell you who's on the list after David. Donald, Mal, Tracy, Sasha, Frank, and Dan. Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, David.
I'm concerned about the unpaid staff election process, the definition of unpaid staff, the utter lack of transparency of the process of trying to reconstitute an unpaid staff organization after it basically died cold a few months ago. It's all kind of moot since you've just explained that you've been sacked for having made this decision, so I'm not even sure why I'm bringing it up, but I just want to make a public statement that I've been trying to get information from the committee as to how many people have stepped up to run for positions on the unpaid staff council, and I have not been able to get an answer to that simple question, let alone any notion of what the selection criteria are for members of the unpaid staff organization. And I just want to make a public statement that I object to the entire nature of the way it's being conducted. On the matter of a program about cannabis, I think it's sort of incumbent on KPFA to get right there into the thick of controversial stuff and take important stands, and I would advocate putting a program on the air, regardless of any fear of federal scrutiny. And I also want to thank you for having made a tough decision on the morning thing, and I apologize for the fact that you appear to have been sacked for it.
I didn't realize you were being sacked for it, but if that's the case, okay, but if that is the case, my apologies to you. I'm really interested in hearing the process in your mind and whoever you consulted with in determining that you needed to make that change in the morning and move these Democracy Now! Back to 6 a.m., get rid of Al Jazeera, and create a new morning show at 7 a.m. I'd really like you to explain to this board what your thinking was so that both sides in this contentious atmosphere can hear ostensibly a radio professional talk about what's real and what's not.
I think I'd like to answer that now. I think it's an important question. First of all, I don't feel like I was sacked. I had told Arlene that some time back that I felt that I needed some clarity myself and that July 4 would probably be a reasonable time to look towards, but if there was more time required, I was happy to stick around. I will add, with all honesty, that was at a very difficult time of my tenure. This year has been the most difficult. And having made that change, which I'll now talk about, things became a little bit easier inside the station. I felt like I was able to be more of a manager than I had been able to, which made it more exciting to be at KPFA. Having said that, the decision was a really hard decision because of the past history, which many people have instructed me in. And there are many different viewpoints to that history, which I'm aware of. And in permaculture, the first principle is careful and protracted observation. We like to look at a situation over a complete cycle. That would be 1 year. And I found myself after a year suddenly coming to the realization that I had to extract the politics from the situation, that I was radio. I'd always been a quote-unquote ostensibly a radio professional. And I'd always been a programmer. I always tried to keep the politics, the internal politics, out of my programming and deal with the larger politics, the mega politics out in the larger world and keep my eye on the programming. And that's what I did in this decision, finally. I've never been very facile at
politics, internal politics. It's never been something I've enjoyed. So that had a very large part to do with that decision. The fact that Al Jazeera was making very little money and we'd received criticism of Al Jazeera from fairly significant quarters, amongst them Project Censored, who'd pointed out a lot of anomalies in Al Jazeera. And we received virtually no negative response. It's quite amazing. It either means no one's listening or we actually did the right thing almost up to 100%, because we've received no negative content. And a little bit of negative comment in that we moved Democracy Now! To 6 o'clock, but not very much there either, to be honest with you. The two Democracy Nows have been like that in terms of fundraising. Sometimes the early ones made $500. Sometimes the later ones made a small amount of money too, and there's been no real pattern. But the overall income from Democracy Now! Has been getting less and less. And whilst it's still a very important program, I absolutely acknowledge that, I thought the larger issue, and let me just very briefly expound on this. I mean, when I came into KPFA, the morning show, the old morning show, had been disbanded in a very abrupt, unconsultative manner. I was aware of that. There were lots of reasons for that. Amongst the reasons was budgetary, and amongst them were politics. There's no doubt about that. I think we all know that. And I felt the tremendous pain, anger, frustration, anguish from this community because of that shift, because of that change. I got it constantly. Every day I was at KPFA almost. It was out there. And I can't speak on behalf of the executive director, but I would suggest that if she had that over again, that she probably wouldn't have done the same thing again. I don't think she understood just how grave and how difficult that situation would become for KPFA, and how grave. And I needed to create a healing gesture. I really felt that we needed to come together. There needed to be a little bit of an eating of humble pie, and that hubris had no place in it, and that we needed to make an authentic gesture. And I was not going to micromanage the news department. It's not my character to micromanage. I had asked the news department, who I've said earlier has more resources than other departments, if we were to do this, there would be no additional resources, and that I was hoping they would be able to circulate other producers through that morning slot. Well, having said that, I mean, they're nice words, but there actually aren't very many other producers in the news department, actually. And so it was really no secret, it was no surprise to me that Brian popped up in the morning. And he's a controversial character, but he's also one of the best producers at the station. He's totally reliable. He's well-liked in some quarters and not liked in others. He's controversial to some extent. But I have to say, his attitude towards that position, he was never confrontational with me. He was creative in his suggestions, telling me that he would like to get debates into that slot, and sure enough, we've already had two or three, that he would like to see some outside broadcasting coming into that slot. And the other day, we had an outside broadcast coming into that slot. So he's held to his word. He and Eileen told me, in quotations, and Andrew, there will be no surprises. I said, well, that's good. I said, just do your best, and if I can help, I'm here to help. And John Hamilton came on this week, as we knew he would. I think he did a wonderful job. There are absolute plans to bring in other, quote-unquote, unpaid producers into the slot to do sections, to do reports. For instance, Voices of the Middle East, I understand, have been asked to do a report. I think David Bacon has been asked to come back and do a report. There will be commentaries on that program. I think it has potential to be a very strong program. And as I said, I think it was necessary for the internal morale of the station. Because after all, any manager has a staff to deal with. And if your staff has no respect for you, and the situation is so difficult and political and riddled with politics as it was, and a meeting I went to where the staff were so terribly frustrated, the most difficult meeting I had at KPFA, probably in radio, one union meeting, What I was hearing was anguish and pain of people who were probably going to lose their jobs, and I would be pretty angry too, because I was sitting on my hands essentially and not using a department, the news department, in a way that we could have to raise money. Mm-hmm. And Ticket actually can raise money, and so can Brian, and so can John. And so I think to some extent, I understood the criticisms that they had, absolutely. It was... And so that was another part of the reason they were very angry, they were very upset, and I think they had a right to be, actually. And all of this bundled together just made this decision pretty straightforward. I made it on a Saturday. I called Arlene. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just letting you know that. She was not terribly happy, but she didn't. She said, well, you're the manager. I'll stand by your decision. However, I think she felt that it was going to be a little bit different the way it rolled out than the way it did. I don't think she... Whatever it was, I think, in quotations, it's not a perfect system. This is a very hard station to manage, and I'm not going to micromanage the programmers. I mean, people have a program, and within the context of their program, they do what they do under the Pacifica mandate. So that's how the decision was made. That explains it.
Thank you. Elaborate.
Okay. Did you cover all of the questions? I know you dealt with Donald and David's question, but Henry asked you some questions earlier that I don't think got.
I think I did. I said that there was going to be some fusion in the morning. That there was a plan to bring in other unpaid staff.
Great. Okay. All right. So the people.
We've got to keep in mind this is rolled out very, very quickly.
I know.
Yeah.
We appreciate that very much. Let me ask if the people who asked questions so far feel like their questions were answered.
Unpaid staff.
Well, I don't really have an answer to that. I mean, I've been talking to Anthony, who's one of the prime movers of the unpaid staff UPSO organization, and perhaps you. It would be better to ask Anthony. We've been working on it, and that's all I can say. I've been
asking Anthony.
Okay, we'll give Anthony a chance to respond later, okay? All right, so now back to board members' questions for Andrew. The next person is Mal, followed by Tracy. Okay, here it comes.
Rich,
heads up. Here comes the microphone.
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks for making the decision about the morning lineup. My questions are, when you were told your last day was going to be June 30th, were you told who was going to succeed you? That's one. And if not, apparently, were you told about anything about the process that would be used to pick your successor? That's all that I have.
Okay, thank you. Tracy. There's a handout that was given out. It's a MEMPSIS pledge report that Chris Stelic prepared. It's always helpful to look at data. So while I appreciate all the opinions being put forward here, it's helpful to look at whether or not we did, in fact, actually raise money. One of the things that this report reflects is how we did in this spring fund drive as opposed to the spring fund drive 12 months ago. And if you take a look, the answer is incredibly crappy. Just to summarize some of the numbers fairly quickly, virtually every strip program besides Hard Knock Radio and Flashpoints lost a substantial amount of support over the past 12 months head-to-head. Evening news hourly pledges were down 31%, over $500 an hour. Democracy Now! Pledges were down 66%, over $1,200 an hour. Letters and Politics pledges were down 25%, more than $600 an hour. Living room pledges were down 22.9%, or over $300 an hour, and against the grain pledges about the same, 22%, about $500 an hour. If you add that up, that is a loss throughout those strip programs of close to $3,600 per hour in decreased pledges. Our overall fund drive results, which were not exactly robust in May of 2011, dropped by 20%, down to less than $1,200 an hour. This is pretty serious stuff, folks. So while we're discussing program changes, which are fine, I think we also need to look at the numbers that are in front of our face, which are basically catastrophic, and which point to no support for the vast majority of our programming, and simply a crevicing of the support that we have. Bouncing money around from one hour to the other, you know, can be entertaining from a statistical point of view, but it doesn't change the amount of money in the bank.
Is there a question for Andrew in this anywhere?
Uh-huh. But you have to wait. It's called 3 minutes, David. Count it. So the question that I have for you, Andrew, is given these results, you said something about raising money. What money do you think was raised? This is the worst fund drive in KPFA's history in the past 5 years. So are you anticipating different results going forward? What do you have to say about... What do you... I can count. What do you have to say about what the results are? Come on, 10 seconds after 30 seconds is not time. What do you have to say about these financial results? They are disturbing.
Well, they are disturbing. It's true. They're disturbing at KPFA. They're disturbing across the network. It's not just KPFA. However, having made a change and put some resources back into the morning where the audience potentially is, one hopes that we will build audience in the morning and make up some of the difference. I would answer this question this way. I mean, I think the fundraising model that Pacific has been using for so many years, and I think everybody knows this, it's just that nobody really knows how to change it. It's worn out, it's broken, and it's surprising that it still works. It does still work. It's a very quick way to raise a large amount of money very quickly, but it's not raising as much money as it used to. And I think that trend will continue. And I would suggest very strongly that, and I'll be writing more about this, and we've talked about it, and it's only been talk because I haven't been able to get very much support from inside the organisation. We need to get much more internet presence. We need to gather our intellectual capital. Because in the event of... We don't know what's going to happen to KPFA. We don't know what's going to happen to Pacifica. But one thing we do know is we have very valuable intellectual capital in the archives, and we have it at our stations. And part of that intellectual capital is the producers that we service at the station, and that we need to ensure that that intellectual capital is protected in some way. And one way to protect it is to create a strong web presence so that, God forbid, in the event of the terrestrial network going down, there is still a place for that information to go to the public. And I think it's very, very important to pursue this more than ever right now, to have that place for us to go, for that intellectual capital to be stored, distributed, e-commerce, the whole thing. And when I give my report, I'll be including a proposal which... joining on with Henry, who wrote about this probably 2 years ago now, and it's just nothing's been done about it. And I urge the board very strongly to get on this. I think this is really important. Radio is changing. Terrestrial radio is changing. It will always be here, but it's changing. And it was not just about raising money. We have to have some morale in our organisation. There has to be some sense of the organisation pulling together. That was a big part of why this decision was made. And it's true that money moved from other programs into the morning. But we had a goal of $740,000, and we came in about 77% short, and that's not terrible, given the goal, given the reality, and given the economic situation.
So Sasha and then Frank. Are there any other board members who haven't spoken for the first? I have you on the list, Jen. I have Dan on the list, too. I'm just wondering if there are any board members who haven't spoken for the first time before I start calling on people for the second time. Okay, so I've got two people for the second time. Thank you, Kate. Any others? Okay, yeah, I got. Okay, good. All right, so Sasha followed by Frank.
Andrew, I want to really thank you for having made that change in the morning. And I'm really sorry that you're going to be going, because I think there's a lot of political pressure, and you stood up to it. And unfortunately, we would have to start anew with somebody else. And I think we really need somebody managing the station who can look at what's best, what makes sense for KPFA and so forth. So I just wanted to really thank you for that. I know it was probably difficult, but thank you. There was a comment made by Henry that I'd like to just point out, that the morning mix had a new voice and compared to host of Up Front. And I want to say that I think actually Brian Edwards-Tiegert, in terms of hosting the morning show in the past, actually was on the air for a shorter period of time than the morning mix has been on now. So it's a few months, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I believe that he was on actually as host of the morning show for a shorter period of time than we've had people on with the morning mix at this point. But that's kind of beside the point, whether a specific individual or not was on longer or less or what have you. To me, I think we're looking at what makes sense, what's a program that people are interested in and that they would listen to. And I do think that Up Front is a program that is of far more interest to a greater number of people. So I had a couple of questions. I think it was announced that there was $1 million owed for Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News. And I think the last I heard it was $200,000 for Free Speech and $500,000 for Democracy Now! So do you know what the breakdown is for that? And then you had talked about 3 to 5 people probably needing to be cut. And I'm wondering, if you have a sense for when that will happen and what's being looked at. If you're leaving in 30 days, you're probably not involved, but whatever you know about that would be certainly helpful to know. And the other thing is, I believe, you know, you were behind what we passed last month in terms of not transferring more KPFA funds to pay off Pacifica, but I'm wondering if you could give us a sense for Pacifica staff and board, you know, responding to that, what your sense is of things, because I understand that now WBAI is going to only be paying 50% to Pacifica that the rest of us have to do. Thank you.
I think I've lost my train of thought here. I'm sorry. What was the? I didn't get the actual question.
Questions really had to do with when you think the cuts of the 3 to 5 people, when you think those cuts might happen. Are you involved in that process, or who is? When do you think it will happen? And I mean, if we're going by union and we're going by the most recent people being cut, that may or may not even be a good idea for KPFA. I'd have to look at the list, but we certainly can't afford to have, I mean, the new program Up Front is very popular, and I'm really terrified of, you know, somebody being cut because it's brought in a bundle of money compared to Morning Mix. And the other one is, so that's, and then the $1 million for Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, if you know how that's broken down, and if you know what's happening with the WBAI and station being, money being taken from stations, you know, in particular KPFA, to cover Pacifica's loss.
I'm sorry. Okay, so this
I mean, this is, of course, really controversial. Staff cuts are always very difficult, and I just want to be, you know, like as transparent as I can. I mean, I want to acknowledge that not if, that they are going to happen as far as I... This has come down from Pacifica. They're demanding these cuts because from the National Board because of the financial status of the organisation. I will certainly be working with the CWA negotiating these. There will be a negotiation to the degree that I am at the station. That's the way I will work with it. I don't know what Pacifica has plans in that regard, but I think it really needs to be discussed and worked out with the union. We need to take a hard look at the union and the station and try to do it in a cohesive manner with the staff. I think that's really important. The $1 million to Democracy Now!, I don't know what the exact figures are. I know there's an outstanding balance to Democracy Now!, to Free Speech Radio News, and to some legal organisations which have not yet come up on the... They're on the radar, but they haven't come to the stations for payment, but at some point they will. But I don't know where we're going to find the money. WBAI, of course, I think they signed another four-year lease for their building, 120 Wall Street. I don't know the ins and outs of that. I know it's expensive property. I know they have to pay a lot for their transmitter on the Empire State Building. It's a large amount of money, and I think they may be coming in about $100,000 below their goal in the latest fundraiser. That's what I've heard from the manager. So it doesn't look very good. So it's going to put more pressure on the rest of the network. I think the network needs to really sit down and have a hard discussion about where we're going as Pacifica. I mean, I guess we've been doing this for 60 years. I guess we've got to do it again. It has to happen. Because I think there is a lot of problems out there, and I have actually addressed this with the executive director and the CFO a couple of times, asking them, is it likely that our payroll, we won't be able to meet payroll at some point? Where are we? Because I'm concerned about that. I've been concerned about that as the manager, and I would like to get some clarity there. And we really need to take some strong actions, otherwise, and amongst them will be the staff cuts. That's one of the actions. But we've got to look at the entire network. How do we proceed?
Thank you. Okay, so Frank, followed by Dan.
Hello again, Andrew. How are you doing? So I do, of course, like most people, feel like the morning change. I would like to commend you, I guess, for making that hard decision, whether I'm totally for it or against it. I wasn't happy the way the old morning show went out, whatever, how I feel about the show itself. And I know you're catching flack. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. And I hope it's not the reason why you're going. But I would commend you for that, for the healing process, making that change. It's a good job, I guess, there. Another thing is I guess we have to wait and see how it works out. I still feel like the morning mix people should maybe share in resources, or if there is unpaid staff coming in to help in the upfront program, maybe they could share on the resources that are there, and maybe something like Free Speech Radio News be paid for something that they do or something like that. That is, yet for you guys all to work out. But that would be something I'd look forward to, some sharing of the resources. You could add the funds that the upfront brings in, but you got to remember that they're taking out pay for staff, stuff like that. The morning mix, according to this new MEMSIS data, whatever it is, seems to be like the one stable thing. And, of course, there's no real cost to the station in the morning mix being produced. So I'll leave that at that. If it seems that you are going, I'll be saddened that you're going. So you've been a great ally to the apprenticeship program. I thank you for that, being there. Someone that I felt like was more open to communication than any. I've been there since 2006, and so the three or four people I saw, you've been the most open to communication and willing to help the apprenticeship program, step in and teach a couple classes, stuff like that. So I'll be saddened if you do go. And so what I get to with my question is, with this new change in the way, maybe a new change in hearts, new change in programming, whatever you want to consider it, is there a chance that you may stay? Is there something that may keep you around a little longer? I don't know how people on their side feel, but you say there's not much negative comments about the changes you've made. Maybe some people have, I don't want to say seen the light, but seen a light, maybe a light of change. I would just wonder if there's a chance that you may stay on, or maybe at least continue in an interim way until someone else comes in. So I would hope that you would.
I'll just leave that hanging out there. I don't know, Frank. I mean, I really don't have any hard feelings. This has been a great experience. I want to do what's best for the organization. I'm an older guy, kind of retired. It's not like I don't have a lot on the plate, so I'm around to help if I can, and willing to help if I can. So let me just leave it at that.
Before I call on the next speaker, let me just explain to people who may have come to address us that we got a quick start this morning, and so we got past public comments. But in the past, when we've done that, if there are people who've come to speak to the board, we'll redo the public comments as soon as this item on the agenda is over. According to our schedule, we should be done at 12:25. It'll be close to that. It won't quite be 12:25. So next is Dan, followed by Janet. Yes, and so Sharam arrived and Kate arrived. No, Kate was here at the beginning. Who? Andrea Turner, sorry. Thank you.